and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Telling me it was always this early here.
Yes.
Is that what you're telling?
Yes.
Barely live from Los Angeles. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Home. Oh, my box is here, too. It's very exciting.
I know, right? Oh, my God, and you're not in a screen. This is, like, really weird.
You prefer me on Skype, don't you?
I certainly do.
Mm-hmm. I'm live. Live? Why, what's this? It's a montage waiting for me from Shano. Why? Mama announced that she's going to the New York Bureau.
Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze. And...
Stephanie Miller.
New York is spitting you out so hard
that I'm moving out.
Are you planning on moving out anytime soon?
I'm moving back to L.A. this week. Oh, I am such a loser.
I think you're moving. Call the paramedics.
Okay, somebody help me. I broke my foot. This has been just a complete disaster, hasn't it? My move to Calcutta?
Yeah.
Ah, punked. Thank you, Shano. I am a disaster magnet. Why, good morning, Rebecca Taylor.
Well, look what the cat drug in. I have one thing to say. Why is she back?
Look what the cat picked up at her house at 5:15 this morning.
Oh yeah, it's driving Miss Steffi time.
Mm-hmm.
This part of our relationship came a little sooner than he had. Now he's in elder care and producing.
Uh-huh.
I'm so glad that he likes you better than I do, so he'll pick you up.
No, I just have the unfortunate luck of living closer to her than you do.
Ha ha. All right. Good morning, everybody. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. Yeah, let me just say, moving 3,000 miles with two giant dogs, 17 bags, really stress-free with a broken foot. Really was...
Did the dog make it back
delightful.
Okay?
Yes, Max and Fred are back.
Good.
Max, though, can I just say he will hold that against me for the rest of his life because I couldn't get them both on the same Pet Airways flight.
Mm-hmm.
So Max had to stay with my dog walker in Harlem for a week, and I'm going to hear that for the rest of my life. You left me in Harlem! I'm a big white dog, and you left me in Harlem!
Did he pick up any street lingo?
I was thinking it was a little like that scene in Die Hard. I did leave him in Harlem kind of naked and white in Harlem for a week. And he was a little for a couple days, but now he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now Max is fine.
Now he knows how to use a switchblade.
Yeah, it's been I have a fractured fifth metatarsal.
Whatever that means.
I have an x-ray. Want to see it?
No. And quit complaining. Walk it off and get back to
work.
Yeah,
walk it off.
Please call me Das Boot. That's why I'm wearing a boot.
Uh-huh.
For who knows how long. Is there a podiatrist or an orthopedist listening? I need someone here in LA. It's time for a new x-ray or something. I don't know how long this thing is on for. But guess what? The listeners are right. Not so good driving with this thing.
Yeah. No, I can't imagine it would be.
Yeah, I've been driving with my left foot, which also, because you know I'm not a good driver with my good foot, so, yeah. It's broken. You know what I'm saying.
You're driving with your left foot?
Well, just short distances. Like, where do you think my first stop was?
The liquor store?
Yes, thank you. Wine store.
Uh-huh.
Wine store. And not kidding. I've never seen people so happy to see me. It was like a party. They were like, oh, our kids can go to college now.
At the liquor barn. Uh-huh.
Exactly. Yeah, I've got to get someone to come over and put in that Olivia Soprano's wheelchair. It's a whole thing. I got to have an electric something. I can't. Here's what I can do, because you know me, I'm kind of an exercise nut. I can't do anything except I can do weights, so I'm going to look like you. I'm going to look like Popeye. And I can do, but here's what I do, Rebecca. I can't even really swim because you can't really flip the foot.
Right.
So every day, and you guys are invited over, there's like this magical Esther Williams musical in my little pool. I put a little old lady cap on with like the rubber flowers on the side, and there's music and lights. I do these sort of old lady kind of pool things. Just.
I want pictures, and if I don't get pictures, I want Photoshop fun from you listeners. Seriously.
The other reason Chris had to drive me to work is because, you know, my car?
No. Not here yet.
Yeah, not so much. Not so much. It's, how long has it been now? 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, Danny in Chicago, who sounds like a character Jim does.
Yes.
Every time it's him, I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, God.
I'm just like, oh.
Okay, so...
Yeah, Stephanie said, Danny, I got some more bad news for you.
So the first car, or the first truck caught
the
on fire.
The first truck carrying my car, with all of my worldly belongings in it, clothes, computer, bikes, you know.
Was it backed up on carbonite, at least?
Yes, okay. That's all backed up on, I think you know that.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was the first call. Stephanie, you're not going to believe this. And at this point, I will. I'll pretty much believe anything Danny says. I'm like, mm-hmm. It's like the truck caught fire, and then the axle broke on that truck there. So then it went on another truck. He's like, that's going to be fine. I put in a covered truck. Everything's going to be good. And then that truck broke down. And then that truck, broke down again. So in Abilene. It's in Abilene, as far as I can tell. Yeah, it's getting repaired, and you're going to try to it'll hopefully be repaired by today.
And then it'll make it all the way to Luckenbach.
Your car's made it to Lubbock.
Is all of your stuff still in your car?
Yes.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm. I was using this week of vacation to get unpacked and resettled and all that. And which I could if I want to settle in Abilene.
Maybe somebody cleaned out your car for you.
Maybe. Wouldn't that be funny? That'd be funny.
Rebecca, always with the ray of sunshine.
Oh, she's a glass half full kind of gal.
Yeah.
So I've been loving it. I love it. Did I mention I love L.A.? Love L.A. Just miss the heat wave. And
I love L.A.
I hear it's like 1,000 degrees, 1,000% humidity on the East Coast.
Yes.
Oh, dear. We send our best. I'm loving being home. I'm even, guess what I'm doing? I'm cooking, Rebecca. You want to come over?
No. I'll be fine.
Because I've been ordering in every night for like 7 months in New York. So
right.
And you know me, I'm not a very good cook, but
no.
I just...
You can't even microwave. How can you cook?
Although, you know what? She does know her way around a grill. I will give her that.
Really?
Oh,
yes.
Although you should have seen this. Okay. Over the holiday, you used my grill clean when you were squatting at my house.
Yes, I did.
Before you went back to your van by the river or wherever it is you live.
Whatever.
Yes.
Your hovel, something. there's a rotisserie on there, you know, that, you know, you put the little chickens on and it, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, except, of course, I lost the little screw that holds the chickens together. So I did a little rotisserie thing, and it was like some sort of bestiality snuff film in there because I had to use, like, wire instead of the screw. And so they were sort of tied together in an unholy embrace. And then they, like, the wings started coming off. So every time you opened it, it looked like
sounds like a scene from Saw.
Yeah, it was. It
oh,
was
my
like,
God.
It was like the torture scene in Pulp Fiction, something. It was really, every time you opened it to check on it, you're like, oh, jeez, that is.
Oh, my God.
But they were delicious. Thank you for asking.
It sounds like the dentist scene in Marathon Man.
Exactly.
Is it safe?
What the hell's going on in there? All right, so we have a Monday and a Tuesday show all mashed together. We have Rude Pundit coming up, and Charlie Pierce of the Boston Globe next hour. Susan Crabtree, senior editor for The Hill, to talk about the Elena Kagan hearings and much more. We still have a full show.
We do.
We got stuff going on. Rebecca's been working her hump off all the holiday, haven't you?
Yeah, totally.
I got a few emails from her. Yeah, so she was working, actually. She booked a few people, including Joe Sestak.
Yes, there. Hey.
Joe Sestak is coming up later on this week.
Goodness, I'll have to brush up my military credentials. Let's redo the website.
Have we let them know yet, Rebecca?
Let's phony up some military credentials for me.
You know, I don't know how to broach that with them.
Like, yeah, that's kind of difficult.
The congressman has mentioned in every interview his gratitude for Stephanie's service in the military, which is unfortunately non-existent. Might you mention that?
I was like, oh, yeah, she's a Navy SEAL. Totally.
What am I, that Kirk guy or whoever? I've never even said it. But see, now I'm going to be accused, should I run for office, that it'll be by omission.
Mm-hmm.
They will keep playing those segments over and over where I don't correct the good congressman, only because I'm such a friggin' polite host.
Yeah,
because
you're so going to run for office.
Because that's so a possibility. Because there so isn't anything embarrassing out there that could
That could be dug
up.
Could
prevent that in any way.
Because your entire life is so not on tape.
That, you don't even have to scratch the surface. That's your first hit on Google. It's, whatever comes up first. You don't even have to dig in the Google for the stuff. It would make that implode. All right. So, lots of us. Oh, by the way, I understand that Mel Gibson, I believe, is up to be the head of the RNC now.
Oh, dear.
Because they think he might be less gaffe-prone.
Oh, dear.
Than Michael Steele. there's lots to talk about. What the hell was he talking about? Afghanistan's a war of Obama's choosing?
Nobody in the Republican Party has said that.
Yeah.
What? Huh? I can think of a couple of people that come first on the list. Oh, do we have it?
We do.
This is a war of Obama's choosing. This is not something the United States has actively prosecuted or wanted to engage in.
So apparently he gave that speech on a subway track?
No, someone recorded that at a picnic on a cell phone.
Oh.
And so that's the only tape that we have of that.
Republicans and recording devices. They'll just never get it. Oh, the YouTubes. All right, 17. So, yeah, even the Republicans are calling for him to step down. Please, God, no. Please, no. 17 minutes after the hour. We'll talk about that and much more. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number to say hey to Mama.
Did you almost forget the number?
I did. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the craziest thing I ever heard.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, Mark says my box sounds much better in L.A., which is very, very nice.
Oh, God.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Ooh, oh, God.
22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, this is very nice. Tommy has sent me a nice a place for senior living in Hollywood, which is nice. I need to start. Okay. I'm just working this thing for all it's worth. So far, the broken foot.
Yeah.
I've had friends doing everything for me over the vacation. I'm like, I have a broken foot. Joe in Spokane, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Joe.
Hey, welcome back to the Wacky Coast.
Thank you, honey.
You know, Michael Steele's a buffoon. However, even a broken clock is right twice a day. And he did also say in his little speech that in 1,000 years, nobody has ever won anything in Afghanistan.
Yeah, Michael Steele does stumble into the truth every now and again.
Yeah,
but,
you know, by accident, I'm sure. But, you know, I mean, he really...
But it's the wrong kind of truth for Republicans.
I did not hear any of them defending him.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. When you've got everybody from, who is it, Bill Kristol, and everybody's calling for him to step down.
Oh, Bill Kristol, you mean that voice of knowledge and virtue?
Speaking
of
people that are right about everything all the time.
Mm-hmm. Hey, welcome back.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. The thing is, that part of it, it's true, I mean, in terms of Afghanistan, but
that's right.
But it's just the whole, it's Obama's choosing?
Yeah.
Huh? Mm-mm. Something else he inherited from Bush, but anyway. Lindsey Graham, actually, yesterday about Michael.
Dismayed, angry, upset. It was an uninformed, unnecessary, unwise, untimely comment. This is not President Obama's war. This is America's war.
Oh, yeah, what I media hoard last week, didn't I? Oh, I did Larry King and I did The Ed Show, but that was...
And both of them are up in the video section of StephanieMiller.com.
Aren't I something? On vacation with a broken foot.
I know.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. I understand both arguments on Afghanistan. I always say that I'm willing to give the president time, that this is part of what he ran on is, you know, we got into the wrong war in Iraq, which I agree with. He was going to finish the job in Afghanistan. But I also, I, I understand that, you know what I'm saying, Chris, in terms of what is the strategy? I don't, when, in terms of Al-Qaeda, I mean, they are mostly gone, so I'm not really sure what the end game is. I mean, I think there is an end game. He's still saying we're withdrawing at whatever date that was.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll become more clear with Petraeus. Now.
The thing I think everyone can agree on, Michael Steele, a big boob.
Yes.
That's the only thing we know for sure. You knew he would get support from Ron Paul, though.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the fact that we're willing to have a discussion about the popularity of this war. And truly, it is Obama's war, even though it was started during the last administration. Obama said this is the good war, and he's expanding the war, and the American people aren't with him.
Yeah, you know, the problem is, if George Bush had done anything right, including Afghanistan, we might not still be in Afghanistan. If he had finished the job there like we should have
before,
after 9/11,
yeah.
Instead of going into Iraq, it would have been another mess that he didn't inherit, but
that's
he did.
Right. That's right.
Senator John McCain.
In the short term, casualties will go up. But I am convinced we can succeed and will succeed, and Kandahar is obviously the key area, and if we succeed there, we will succeed in the rest of this struggle.
Why doesn't anyone ever ask a follow-up and go, what does succeed mean? Your opinion, then, what does that mean exactly?
Right.
I mean, wouldn't you have thought way back when, Chris, when somebody said there's less than, 100 Al-Qaeda?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that succeeding? I mean,
success has not been defined, so I couldn't answer that.
So, John McCain, Jim DeMint, Lindsey Graham, Joe Lieberman all harshly criticized Steele. They were all on the Sunday shows, right?
Yeah.
But none of them actually demanded he step down.
Are you okay?
I was hucking up a loogie. Excuse me. Is that unattractive?
A little bit. And
some
now
way?
You're doing it in person, and I'm so turned off.
Ron Paul did say Michael Steele should not resign. He said Steele is guiding the party in the right direction. I don't know what direction that is either. You have Ron Paul, who won the straw poll at the last conservative thing and then got booed by the people
that voted
presumably
for him.
Yes. So they, and it's the Democrats that are in disarray? And you've got a party that seems to, I don't think, largely not really like Michael Steele. At all, but not really know what to do about the Michael Steele problem.
Well, they can't get rid of him because he's black.
Because in case you haven't noticed.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
You know, if maybe the Tea Party signs with the N-word on them haven't convinced you, perhaps that's what it would look somehow impolite.
Right. Yeah, the Tea Party sign should say something that, you know, the GOP doesn't much like.
Jim Ward tried to warn them when it's like you do get that it's not just any black guy, right? We understand that you look so inclusive by appointing him, but he is an incompetent boob, in case that hasn't escaped your attention. You know who's being rumored?
Who?
Sarah Palin. Caribou,
yes,
Barbie.
Because they don't want her to run for president in 2012.
Because they even said, well, you know, policy's really not her thing. You know, issues, not really.
Whatever.
Not so much. Maybe just a thing where she just opens her pie hole. Maybe that would be better for her. Dan in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, hello, Stephanie.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, congratulations on your move back to L.A. And I'm a car hauler.
Uh-oh.
And actually, I loaded out of Amherst, New York on Saturday. It was right down the transit from Lackport.
From Lackport, my hometown.
Exactly.
Yes.
Hey, it's illegal for you to transport personal belongings in your car.
Shh, about that. I know, but everyone does it.
Oh, God.
Well, remember, I just tell people you got to keep your, you know, keep your junk in the trunk and keep it below the windows and you're good.
Yeah, right? Oh, sure. Yeah, all right. Whatever, everybody's got its pooper. 29 minutes after the hour, the Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
When you open the door, will your mystery date be a dream or a dud?
Oh! 34 minutes after the hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Michael in L.A.
Hi, welcome back.
Thank you, baby.
Yeah. I was wondering, in coming back to L.A., were you able to get back your mansion and your entire weight staff?
Except for my stable man.
Oh,
pretty much,
oh,
yeah.
That's uh-huh. You know, I was concerned because getting between the first floor and the second floor
yes.
would be difficult
and
without your elevator.
The fifth floor butler, we had a tough negotiation, but he's back as well. Thank you. And that's the tough one, Jim. He's the one that has to change the bathwater after the
yes,
accidents.
Yes, after the accidents.
Which will be your job eventually.
Great. I'm so looking forward to that.
You'll be driving this Daisy for a couple more days at least. So my car's going to get here, apparently. End of the week. Okay. Hey, it's Tuesday. It's weird, but there was a vacation, so just pretend it's Monday.
It's Lee Papa, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa. How are you enjoying the heat and humidity in New York?
Oh, I think my hair is sweating.
Oh, well, I miss you, baby.
I miss you, too. You sound so much further away than when I was just calling you a few miles.
I know. Be strong.
I'm hanging in there.
So, Michael Steele, for comedy purposes, we cannot lose him, can we?
No. In fact, I think that the Democrats totally missed an opportunity to say, well, thanks, Michael. Thanks for joining our side on this. And I mean, they actually went kind of nutsoid. They went kind of rove. Glenn Greenwald wrote about it and said that the DNC issued this statement saying that we're not going to walk away from the fight against Al-Qaeda and that, you know, that Michael Steele undermines the morale of our troops. And I just thought, wow, everything's upside down now.
We're all in a parallel universe now. It's opposite day. I know.
They could have actually used Michael Steele if they were serious about ending the Afghanistan war, but they didn't. So let's just mock him.
Yeah, just for the boob that he is. So one of my favorite posts of yours this week is President Obama ready to make Republicans blood again? By which you mean politically, of course.
Sure.
You say there's one significant measure the rude pundit has decided to await. How much is Obama willing to fight to keep the Congress at least nominally Democratic? If the speech he gave last week is the indication, the answer is, oh, yeah, it's on.
It was the most encouraging speech I've heard from him for a while. It really seemed like he had reached a breaking point and just was laying out this argument against Republican ideology that you kind of wish he'd been making the whole time when he wasn't trying to play, nice hold hands and let's work together to heal the world with Republicans.
Well, the way you describe it, first he put out the evidence and explained what they're doing that's so ass-ish, which I didn't even know was a word.
Oh yeah, it's a very descriptive one. It's in the dictionary after assonance. Yeah.
I think I put the bleep in the wrong place. It's Polish is what the word is.
Yes.
Yeah, but
oh, way to go, Steph.
You write, before I was even inaugurated, there were leaders on the other side of the aisle who got together and they made a calculation, if Obama fails, then we win. Right, that was the basic theory. They figured if we just keep saying no to everything and nothing gets done, then somehow people will forget who got us into this mess in the first place and we'll get even more votes in November. And, you know, that will make people pretty cynical about politics, is what the president said. So he said their prescription for every challenge is pretty much the same, and I don't think I'm exaggerating here. Basically, cut taxes for the wealthy, cut rules for corporations, cut working folks lose to fend for themselves. Basically, their attitude is you're on your own. But it was a good summation, wasn't it?
It really was. In many ways, it was a summation of what many of us on the left have been saying since the stimulus negotiations, when he kept making deals and cutting deals with Republicans, and then they still all voted against the bill. It's like he's finally joined the party.
And you wonder how much normal people are sort of aware of what's actually happening in Congress, because I think, as you were pointing out, I mean, they're not even letting things go to vote. They're not even voting for no-brainer things that you think anybody would be for, in this economy particularly, right?
Oh, and not just that, but you mean like extension of unemployment benefits?
Yeah.
Which is ludicrous. The idea that you wouldn't want people to have money to spend money, which might actually stimulate the economy, that actually does seem like a no-brainer. But you know what? Maybe that'll mean unemployed people will feel like they want to vote Democrat.
Yeah, but of the president's strategy, you write, Rude Pundit said it before, he'll keep saying it, Obama plays rope-a-dope with his opponents. He did it with Hillary, he did it with McCain. He wants to see what your best swing looks like before he unleashes. For all his faults, and there are many, the man knows how to make Republicans blood at the thought of going up against him. They have to know it's coming, they just don't know when. The question, of course, is if it's too late in the match. If there was a takeaway from the speech, a talking point for other candidates to use, it's this. So I want everyone to understand, this debate we're having in Washington is not about big government or small government, it's about responsible government. And you end by saying it's always nice to see someone rip the corpse of Ronald Reagan out of the earth and smack it around in front of an audience.
It's a direct response to Reagan saying that government is the problem.
Right.
And he's saying that no, that's not the way that we need to think about government, because as he knows and as we know, the government is actually, you know, a reflection of us. And what we do with that is really says something about what we want.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that unfortunately the oil spill is the perfect description of that. People are we don't want the government involved. We don't want wow, where's the government now? You know, I mean.
Yeah. Oh, even Haley Barbour's gotten on board with that. You know, after all of his time saying, "Nah, the beaches are fine." Oh no, we really need some government help.
Yeah. Now. Right.
And you know, and I love all the people that like planned week-long vacations based on Haley Barbour saying, you know, "Oh, come on down, the beach is fine," and the next day the waves of tar balls come in.
Yeah. Haley Barbour's credibility is so intact.
And now the tar balls have hit Texas, so it has hit every state along the Gulf Coast.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, well, now it's hitting Republican states, so damn it, something will be done.
That's right.
All right, let's talk about Kagan hearings. Love your post-Kagan hearings. Al Franken kicks Republican ass all over the hearing room. You know, I don't know if people are noticing, he's doing a kick-ass job, isn't he?
Franken's great. Franken actually sits there. First of all, I love that he just outright confronts his colleagues. And then the other thing is he just lays it out there. And if I was a Minnesotan, to see my senator up there defending my state in that way and saying that the decisions of the Supreme Court matter to me as a Minnesotan, I would be thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
There was no posing. There was no and people, of course, accuse him of that, but there wasn't. It was, here's decision A, here's how it affects you. Here's
right.
decision B, here's how it affects you. It was great.
Yeah, you write his low-key but outraged dissection of the Roberts Court was devastating. In his ballsy 9-minute opening statement, he demonstrated how Citizens United directly damages democracy and, more importantly, its potential impact on the very bodies of Americans. He used it to mock the notion of liberal justices as judicial activists and to show the states' rights crowd it ain't just about abortion or gay marriage. I mean, because I guess you say it best. You say, apparently the Republican strategy during the hearings on Solicitor General Elena Kagan's nomination to the Supreme Court is to portray her as a N-word loving, oh, smear for Jewish person. That's pretty much was it, wasn't it?
Because there was nothing else. I mean, let's face it, the whole confirmation process should just come down to a lightning round. Abortion, not going to say. Capital punishment, nah, not going to say. And just go back and forth like that, and we're done. And then everybody can go make a speech to the press, and we can all get out of there early for lunch.
I would call it a kabuki dance if I hadn't already outlawed that phrase being used for a Supreme Court nomination hearing any longer.
Oh, what could you go with? What would be another thing?
Show trial.
Tai Chi routine. Yeah. How about that? Or is that too Asian also? Maybe it's just Asians that have scripted things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's hilarious, the whole, like, mentioning Harvard and Princeton, like, that's a bad thing.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, Harvard, Princeton, and
they
Upper
all went
West.
To, yeah, they all went to Ivy League schools. What's your point?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think John Kyle is sitting there who was probably feeling a little bit ashamed of his University of Arizona degree. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, can you imagine if we had a nominee? I see you have your degree from Larry's Legal Hut in Desto?
Yes. I see you got a fine Bermuda law degree.
You got your degree online. Interesting.
Yes.
Well,
who knew that Phoenix College gave out law degrees? It's really great.
I see you're also a dentist. No,
I'd like to be a dentist.
Wow, that's a creepy one.
Yeah, and who asked the fruits and vegetable gotcha question? Who was that? Was that Kyle or, what's his name? Cornyn?
Oh, God, I don't know. I heard about that.
Yeah.
What's the fruits and vegetables gotcha question?
Should
what was that?
Should the government force you to...
what
could
you
eat?
Right.
Yeah, write a law to make you eat fruits and vegetables and...
Let's at least acknowledge that Senator Klobuchar asking, are you on Team Jacob or Team Edward?
Yeah, that was so weird.
And that was when it was like, all right, can we just shut up shop here? CNN go back to whatever it is CNN does these days?
Yeah, what happened with the fruit and vegetable one? First of all, I thought he was going to start spinning on his back like a 5-year-old. Like, she's not going to make you eat your fruits and vegetables, okay? She said that would be a dumb law, but then it's like they're making fun of her because she gave him... Because then she's like, oh, you're not just being an obstructionist asshat. You actually want me to answer this ridiculous question? So she did, the law professor that she is, and then they're mocking that. Like, oh, see, this is what liberal justice looks like, blah, blah, blah.
Right, like Elena Kagan's going to stand over you at every meal.
Exactly. All right. His rudeness will be here, of course, back in his normal time on Monday next week. Your rudeness, thank you.
Thank you. Welcome
Rude pundit.
Back to L.A.
Thank you, baby. There he goes. Pardon me. The Rude Pundit at blogspot.com.
That's right.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Nonstop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Getting jiggy with it.
Getting jiggy with it. Ooh, 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce of the Boston Globe coming up. Susan Crabtree, senior editor of The Hill, will talk to us about the Elena Kagan nomination. Don't forget tomorrow, Hal Sparks joins me live in studio back here in L.A.
Yes.
For the very first Hump Days with Hal back in Los Angeles. In person.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Carl Frisch from Media Matters, co-host Right Wing World, and Michael Goodwin. He's the president of the Office and Professional Employees Union, joins us tomorrow. I just spoke to their union, had a fabulous time.
Did
down
you?
In the D.C. Yes.
Did you steal some office supplies?
Oh, no, I did not.
Oh. What?
That was a day after I broke my foot. So guess what I got? Like my 87-year-old mother, I got the wheelchair in the airport. Awesome. I'm going to try that all the time. We just cruise right through security. It's awesome.
Oh, boy.
All right. Let's dive. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. Let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we, kids? Here we go. Oh, my friend Mark Levin. I love the whole theme that basically somehow, Chris, the president really wanted this oil spill to happen because this is such good news for everybody, politically and otherwise.
So we have our Soviet-style industrial plan in place,
mm-hmm.
except unlike Stalin, who actually wanted to grow his economy, mm-hmm. these guys want to kill the economy.
Oh.
So around 30%
because?
Of the country's oil refining capacity is going to be shut down
mm-hmm.
or otherwise interfered with. How's that make you feel? Now, here's the deal. It's like government-run health care. You don't actually feel the impact of this yet, but you will. You will.
Mm. You see, mm-hmm. that it's not in reaction to any sort of disaster in the oil business.
No.
It's just because he wanted to, because he's Stalin.
That's right.
Because he's Stalin. Because he wanted to shut down oil production. So, here's the thing, the theme that I get in right-wing world that I never get. Why does the president want to wreck the economy? Why exactly?
I don't know.
Is that good for him?
They're just trying to make a demon out of somebody.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's
really?
Their stock and trade.
I hadn't picked that up yet in right-wing mm-hmm. world. Huh. Michael Savage on the Elena Kagan.
This unqualified in any way Kagan
who has never written a book, who has never written one significant legal finding in her entire life. She is a factotum. She is a shill. She is a stooge of the same machine that is trying to move us into international law and move us away from our own constitution. She is anti-life. She is anti-family. She is anti-constitutional. She's anti-police, anti-military, anti-gun. Do you think this woman belongs on the Supreme Court? Of course she doesn't.
Oh, I see. The main qualification, first of all, is you have to have written a book. Like some of Michael Savage's mind droppings or whatever those.
Yeah.
I see. So
like some of Michael Savage's lovers.
We're not supposed to mention that.
We're not? Oh, okay. No. Sorry.
Okay. Newt Gingrich on the Greta Van Susteren.
This is somebody who gets up every day wondering who he should blame. Which, if you think about it, the President of the United States ought to get up every day trying to figure out how he can accomplish something, who he can bring in the room to get things done.
Yeah, because the President has had no history of bipartisan outreach of
not at
any
all.
Kind. Yeah. He's had no history of bringing people in the room to try to figure things out.
You know, they have Newt Gingrich on so much on the Fox News channel, but he's always wrong.
Yes.
What gives him the gravitas to be an expert on anything?
Don't you think at least on the Chiron there should be a little helpful information about the persons that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, like driven out of town on a rail, something on the Chiron that just would sort of
failed
explain.
Speaker of the House?
Yes. Disastrously failed Speaker of the House. Okay. Drug-addled gas bag Rush Limbaugh.
So you have people like Obama, and they want us to believe that their devotion to the government is based on good works and goodwill and justice, social, and all the other things, when in fact it's just a quest for power. So you got a guy like Obama who's no different than Castro in the sense that, what do you mean I can't do that? You mean I got to work under a document that says I can't do this and I can't do... I want a document that says what I can do to people.
See, that's funny, because that guy was a George Bush defender.
Yeah.
See? Who? I see. So President Obama, that would be the first president that was ever interested in being in power, having power of any kind.
Isn't that kind of why you run for president?
I see. He just, okay. Every other president just did it for the good of the people, but he's suddenly.
Uh-huh.
All right, Ted Nugent, constitutional expert.
Yeah.
And they see an administration that is spitting on the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Ten Commandments, the Golden Rule. So we, the Tea Partiers, we the people who are speaking up, the government works for us. They're absolutely out of control. The Tea Party and what you stand for, Sean, what I stand for, one big A word. Accountability. That's our money. At least be honest and accountable.
You know, a big A word comes to mind whenever I think of Ted Nugent, oddly.
Yeah, me too.
So wait, he's a big defender of the Constitution who, as I understand it, Krista, didn't he like sort of lay in his own excrement for weeks so that he wouldn't get inducted into the army? He did quite an elaborate little and stinky dance to get out of serving and presumably protecting the Constitution. Just saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Gary B. Smith, and we know him from?
And he is with, and this would be regarding?
Fox News.
This president is clearly the most anti-business president since FDR. You know, this is a president who has no one in his cabinet who's ever hired someone, fired someone, gone out and get a loan.
On their own.
No one with business experience. A president who referred to the era before he got elected as an era of selfishness and greed. Clearly he hates business, clearly he hates people with a profit motive, and clearly it's costing us jobs.
Okay, so nobody in the federal government has ever hired anybody.
Ever. So because he thinks perhaps there should be some sort of regulation of, I don't know, the financial industry or let's just pick something else, the oil industry, that makes that he means he hates business.
He hates all business.
Profits. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Bill Kristol on Michael Steele.
Supported this president in this war in Afghanistan, which obviously has been a bipartisan effort from the beginning. And unfortunately, Michael Steele politicized this in a way that doesn't reflect the view of the huge majority of Republicans. I think it would be better if he went.
Yes. The opinion of most Republicans like me who've been wrong about everything. He doesn't represent us. All right.
Well, then why is he the leader of their party?
That concludes another Vomitous Right Wing World. Catherine in Tucson.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back to L.A.
Thank you, baby.
Anyway, they object to Elena Kagan because she doesn't have a whole lot of judicial experience, okay? But they also objected to Sonia Sotomayor because she had too much judicial experience.
Exactly. It's almost like they're against everything the president is for.
Oh, my God.
It's so weird. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.